And people ask, because the common question as you do Bible studies, people ask, is Jesus ignoring their sin? What did he say to Peter one time? Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking of the things of God. You're thinking of the worldly things. Is Jesus ignoring their sin? No. Jesus is paying the price in full for all sin.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Jesus prays for His disciples as our study of John continues in chapter 17, verse 6. Here's Pastor Bob.
These words Jesus spoke and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, or life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was created. What a privilege. Something that most of us don't let others in on. When you go in your prayer closet or wherever you go to pray all alone, that's just you and the Lord. And you can lay out anything you want. You know He's not going to spit at you or say, that's a dumb request. You know that, don't you? So you're safe there. You don't let anybody in. And we do that. But look what Jesus is doing for me and you. He's showing us His heart for us and how He loves His Father. It's a privilege. It's an honor Jesus is giving to each one of us willing to listen to His prayer. So He continues to pray. Keep in mind the whole time you hear this, the whole time you read it with your eyes, this is Jesus not saying stuff to the disciples, praying to God the Father. That's amazing to me. This is what He wanted us to hear. And He's going to the cross. He's serious about this. He's not just doing it so they will be impressed with Him. He's doing this because He's saying, I'm coming home and I've got some prayer requests I'm giving to you now. Listen, I have manifested Your name unto the men, the individuals, which You gave me out of the world. Thine they were. In other words, they're Yours, and You gave them to me. If you're a Bible underliner, that is so key to the rest of this prayer. Mark it down or lock it. Mark it in your heart. Thine they were, and You gave them to me, and they have kept Your word. So as Jesus continues to pray, listen to what He says. I have manifested Your name to those You gave me. And they're in the world, but they're not of it. They're out of the world. They came out of the world. They belong to Jesus now. If you're a Christian, if you belong to Jesus, you are in the world, but not of it. You don't belong to the world. We're not worldly. That's not what we are. We still got to keep up on the news and current events because we need to know to pray and all, but this is not our home. This is just a temporary place. Pastor Sam Hadley, I like what he wrote. He was in a service in Oakland, California, and it was one of those believers meetings. And if you've been to some of those ever, it's where people get up, just sit in the congregation and give their testimony. Sometimes it can be good. Sometimes it might drive you to drink straight caffeine. It can really get wacky. But Pastor Hadley after listening to a number of testimonies, he stood up and he said this. Many of you have been telling how you found Jesus. He says, I have no such story to tell. I never found him because I was never looking for him. He came and he found me and he drew me to himself and he drew me to himself from a life of sin and shame. There's a testimony right there. Isn't that ours? Jesus accepted me. I would have never thought of running to him. And he came running to get me. Jesus says this, I have manifested his name. Notice, they're not in the world anymore. I have manifested, well, let me read the verse, your name. His name, what does that mean? I have shown them, I've shown them, helped them to understand your name. Does that mean they didn't understand the word God or Father? No, that language is this. His name means not just who he is, but his, in other words, that's his person. But it also includes, his name also includes his attributes and his character. God is, God is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. God is full of mercy and full of grace, and his mercies never end. They are new every morning. So Jesus is manifesting when he says, I've manifest your name to them. He said, I've shown them what you're like, how you act, the things that you feel. I've shown them you. I've manifested that to them. Jesus has revealed God's very nature to you and me by just walking and talking and showing us the Father. And then Jesus prays. I like this. They have kept your word. Well, have they? Well, of course they have, or Jesus wouldn't have said they did. He wouldn't lie. But do we see them fumble and ask dopey questions and then get out of line and show a lack of faith? Do we? Yes, we do. Now, we're not bragging, but it kind of makes us feel like, oh, good, I'm one of them. But listen to this. They have kept your word in spite of, he just prayed that to the Father, in spite of all their failures thus far, right? Dr. Rainsford writes this, Jesus does not say a word against his disciples. And he doesn't right here. In his high priestly prayer, do you see him in any way go, they're a little shaky, Lord, and that Bob, that guy, you got to watch him. Is Jesus ignoring their sin? No. Jesus is paying the price in full for all sin. Coming up on the cross, it'll be tomorrow morning. Notice in Jesus' heart, it's as good as done. That's faith, everybody. That's what faith is. God said it. I believe it. It is settled. You say it'll never happen. It'll never happen. If God says it will happen, I can take that to the bank. It will happen. You say, I disagree. Who cares who disagrees? If that's what God promised, then that's what God will deliver. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. Nothing is going to change God's word. Jesus does not bring up any of that in his prayer. Is he ignoring sin? No. He's paying for all sin, including mine and yours, if we will humble ourselves, confess that we are sinners, confess that we need some saving. We need a Savior, and surrender our hearts to him. See the joy in Jesus' heart when we read, you gave them to me. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. How are they keeping God's word? Are they doing everything right? Is Peter going to mess up coming up soon? Mm-hmm. Is he going to mess up all kinds of ways down the road, even a couple few years from now? He's going to mess up? Yeah. But he's still just as forgiven, still just as loved, still just as saved. And that's important for you to hear. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. Who do we belong to? Jesus. Who gave us to him? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And once you, by faith, trust, God says, you're now in Jesus Christ. You're fully his. That becomes important coming up later on in his prayer. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So look at verse 7. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are from you. They know it now. For I have given unto them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came from you. And they have believed that you did send me. By faith, the disciples can't explain it all, but they'll say, we believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that miraculously born, that you, God sent you here. We believe it. Will you have any big proof? It's by faith. We believe it. Jesus told them often. Remember walking through the Gospels? We've been reading this verse by verse through John. Remember this? He said, these are not my words. Remember he would say that. These aren't my words. These are the words that the Father speaks. What you hear me speak, that's what the Father says. Remember that? He said, these actions, the things you see me doing, this is what the Father is doing. This is what the Father does. You know, they believe that the Father sent Jesus Christ, his Son. And he keeps telling them, I said that because it's what the Father says. I do this because this is what the Father does. So they believe that he was sent by the Father. We know Jesus Christ came straight from heaven, from God the Father. We know it. We didn't see it. We weren't there. But here's what we know. It's God's word. He promised it's true. Jesus says here that their faith in Jesus was demonstrated in their obedience to his words because they believed. They believe your word. Dr. Ironside said, the one who lacks the desire to do the will of God and keep his word has not been regenerated. If I say, well, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, don't you want to serve God? Nah. No, no. Okay, something's wrong. Something's desperately wrong somewhere. You say, I don't know what to do. It's easy. Bow down and take it all to the Lord. Well, look at verse 9. Look at this. I pray for them. He is saying to the Father, he's praying to the Father, Father, I pray for them. Who's them? Not just the 11, but every true believer. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Let me say it again. That's, I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. The world, he means the non-believers. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. What on the earth is that supposed to mean? All mine are yours, all yours are mine. You already know what it means. I know you do. As our high priest, Jesus prayed for those who trusted in him. As in the position of high priest, he's praying for you still right now at the right hand of the Father. He's praying right now for you and every true believer. For all that believe, not just those 11, but all who would believe in the name of Jesus Christ throughout all the ages. He's not saying here, as some people teach, he is not saying that he never gave a thought to the lost in the world. He did, didn't he? Or we wouldn't be saved, right? He's not saying, I'm not praying for those out in the world. Those who did not belong to him, he proved over and over that he did love them. He ministered to them walking in the flesh. He ministered to all kinds of people who rejected him. He healed them and fed them and taught them and took care of them. And in return, they just said, crucify him. So understand what's going on. In fact, on the cross, on the cross, people say, well, Jesus doesn't pray for any of the non-believers. That's not what he said here, and that's not what's being said. But yes, he did. Luke 23, 34 is just one place. Then he said, Father, for they're playing games at the foot of the cross, the Roman soldiers and the people mocking him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not, they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Did he pray for the non-believers? Of course he did. So he's not saying that in verses 9 and 10. Well, then what's he saying? It is not for the unsaved that Jesus is praying in his position of high priest. Does that make sense? At the throne of God, he is making intercession not for the non-believers, but for all that belong to him. At the right hand of the Father, he is our high priest in heaven. That's what he's saying. But for those, who have been given to him out of the world. On the cross, he prayed for sinners. In heaven, he prays for saints. Right? That's what he's doing. He said it another way, and he's already told us about it. If you like to just open up to John chapter 10, let me read it to you. You'll recognize it right away. He's claiming to be equal with God. John 10, verses 27 through 30. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's all he's saying to the Father as he's praying. He's saying, all mine are yours, and all yours are mine. Co-equal with God. He continues to pray. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. What he's saying is, I'm going to the cross, going to die, days rise from the dead, and 40 days after that, he's going to head back to the Father, to the right hand of the Father. I am now no more in the world, but these, the ones that follow me, my followers, these are in the world, and I am coming to you. I'm coming home. They're going to stay and keep the job going. Holy Father, interesting right there, huh? Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now I am no more in the world. In other words, I'm leaving. But these, those who are saved by grace through faith, they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you to sit at your right hand, right? Holy Father, keep through your own name. Remember, his name doesn't just mean who he is, but his character, his nature, etc. Keep through your own name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, verse 12, I kept them in thy name. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That prayer to his Father, he's not talking to us. The disciples are listening as Jesus prays a high priestly prayer to his Father. Do you hear what he just prayed? It teaches us something about our security. Those that belong to him, those that belong to Jesus Christ will be here on this earth, and they'll be serving our Lord. And here we are, everyone, today, right now, serving the Lord, serving him wherever he's got us. You might be working. You might be at home taking care of home. You might be in school. Who knows what you're doing, but you are serving the Lord doing it. And I know a lot of people say, I'm not doing anything for the Lord. Yes, you are. You're his. He's got you doing exactly what you're doing, and there's a reason for it. And I know that some of you think you're wasting your time. Well, I'm in school. Will I ever get out of school? I always thought that. Now I can't. It was so far back, it seemed like it didn't happen. That's how quickly it goes. Don't you worry. God's not wasting anything. He's using you, and he will keep using you. Trust and continue on. In faith, all that you have given to me, they're mine. All mine are yours. They're mine. All of them that belong to me, keep them. The word means guard them, protect them through your own name. In other words, with the full character of God, you hang on to those that are mine. Do you think God's going to lose any of us? Oh, yeah. Depends on what scripture you could pull out of context. We could fight it all night. Because you got to pull it out of context to use it. Not if you stick with it in context. Listen closely. Keep them, guard and protect them, defend them through your own name, by the power of your own name and character, that they may be one as we are one. Pastor McDonald says, as the Father and the Son are one in moral likeness, so too believers should be united in this respect, that we would all be more like Jesus. That's what makes us one. In simple language, to be one here means to be that of the same will and purpose. You and I could be one. We think differently. We act differently. We walk differently. We're totally different in so many ways, but we're one in heart. What do you mean? We have the same will, God's will, and we have the same purpose, to trust God and to bring him glory. So we walk as one. Your personality still stays you. If you hope that's going to change, it's never going to change. God's working on our character, but he made you to be you. When we get to heaven, it doesn't matter what you look like. We're going to know you just like that. Oh, it's Bob. Lousy jokes. Because that ain't going to change. So if you're hoping that your personality, you're going to be more bubbly, well, too bad. Bubbles, it's just not going to happen. God made you to be you. And there's no other you. And I guess everybody should be grateful. There is nobody like you. Nobody. That's just amazing to me. To be one is to be of the same will and purpose. That's why we can walk shoulder in shoulder together. And finally, he says, while he was here on this earth, when Jesus was here on the earth, he kept all of those that truly belonged to him. Didn't he? Well, he says he did, so who cares what you say? He said, I kept everyone that was mine. How many did he lose? He lost none. He said so. I lost none. Those that were true believers, they're still mine. They're always going to be his. He'll never lose one. Never. Are you his? Then he will never lose you, no matter what you try to do. He promised it. And he even said it. And by his power and authority, Jesus never lost one of them. Even Peter, who denied him 3 times, much worse sin than Judas had done. And yet Peter still belonged to the Lord because his heart was there. Judas' heart was never there. I haven't lost any of them. I promise you, because he promised, he'll never lose any true believer. If you are a believer, you will be in heaven. You say, but my attitude stinks and sometimes I wander off. Well, just like all the rest of a bunch of sheep, I know. God's working in us. God's going to do it. God will never lose you. And I know some are trying to be like, I'm going to get over here, see if he'll come and get me over here. I'm going to get down in this hole. What's in this hole? It's deep. Everyone that truly belonged to Jesus, he kept them. He held them tightly. He said, I lost not one of them. The Father has given us to his Son. Verse 6 says that right here in the chapter. We are precious in the sight of the Father. We are precious in the sight of our Lord Jesus. As the song says, oh, how he loves us and watches over us and even right now prays for you and me.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.